This is a pardon hearing for Mr. Richard Tangro. So you can go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to go through some information, then I'm going to come back to you. Mr. Tangro is actually a current security guard where he's worked for over 3 years, looking for his career in law enforcement. And is looking for a pardon so that he would be able to obtain further advancement for his employment. He is actually has a letter that's in here where he did apply for a concealed weapons permit out of California. It does have a notification of revocation that his permit was denied. Basically stating on the permit that he has a permanent prohibition from carrying a concealed weapon. There were some letters in here that I did want some information that I did want to go over. And I think I'll ask that information now. He actually has a felony for discharging a firearm within the city limits. Also has a DUI on liquor and drugs. And it appears that there's two DUIs that happened on previous dates. Sir, go ahead, because there's a couple of questions I wanted to ask you on this. There's a statement in here that looks like it's a certified statement that you signed that is violation, warning, denial of rights under color of law. Can you explain to me what that is?
Mr. Nelson, could you ask him to give his name?
Yes, sir. Could you just give your state your name?
Richard Claude Chandler.
Okay. Could you explain to me what this is, sir?
I was unable to seek help for some of my financial needs as far as legalities for this case, but that information is probably not pertinent to this case at the moment.
Okay.
Since then, I did have my gun rights restored by the Supreme Court.
I'm going to get to that. Let me ask you another question that I wanted to see, because there's some information that I just, before I got to get to that, I wanted to go through. There's an affidavit of denial of citizenship in here. That's a signed affidavit. Which states that you're not a U.S. citizen or a U.S. national. Is that
what? That is also false. I am currently a U.S. citizen. I was born in this country. And I have my U.S. passport with me. I have that, and I can show that as evidence.
So can you tell me why that's in there?
It could be possible that information was placed there, like, not correctly. The legal help or counsel I was receiving at the time was trying to help me to the best of his ability. However, that information was 100% false.
Okay, so this affidavit in here, that's a signed affidavit by you, dated January 25th of 2016. You're saying that's a false affidavit?
Yes, yes. I'm not sure how that information even got there.
Okay.
I don't recall signing that. It could be possible that it was stapled to there. But that information is not.
Do you want me to show this? Is this your signature? Maybe you can take a look at this and you can tell me. It's on the back page. You'll see a certified copy.
On the front it says citizen signature. That's my signature. Yeah, that is my signature, however, that information is not correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you. As I was going through this filing, there's a lot of paperwork in here. Also, there's another document in here that says standing in the permanent status, which basically is saying that this board has no authority. States once all the oath of office taken, citizenship is relinquished. It's kind of some long things. Is this just some things that were just put in there?
As far as the information is concerned, is I believe, to my understanding, was my rights were being infringed upon at the time because I did not have the right to own or possess a firearm for work purposes. However, since that time, things have changed. And but as far as my citizenship and everything, and I am a U.S. citizen.
Okay, so you've been charged, you were charged, and what they're relying for is that you were charged with discharging a firearm within the city limits, which is a class 6 felony. It was a plea agreement and designated as a felony that you pled to that.
Yes, and also note that it was, I plead to a non-dangerous, and it's non-repetitive. I don't have a history of biting by the crimes.
So, sir, could you expound on what happened on that discharge of a firearm within the city limits?
After reviewing the case several years later, when I looked at the nature of how the report was written, mm-hmm. and I was also tainted by the arresting officer. He walked me into the, you know, before he actually booked me, he walked me to the exit gates of the booking station and said, "Well, if you tell me the truth, you know, and tell me this, just give me the information I want to know, I'll let you go." And it was just, all I need to know is if you fired the gun. And I said, "Yeah, I fired the weapon." And he says, "Okay." And then there was a dispute between two officers inside the booking station for over an hour and a half, whether it's to charge me for a misdemeanor or a felony, and which I thought was really strange. Nevertheless, I was booked for a felony discharge of the violation of the Shannon law. There was no victims, no one was injured. I plead guilty to a non-dangerous crime or violation, not necessarily a crime. And I was booked, and I received 2 years probation, which I finished. And I served my 30-day jail time. And since then, I haven't committed any crimes or anything. I've lived a really good life as far as being a law-abiding citizen, contributed to my community, and I have letters of recommendation. I've served my community church. I gave back to the Red Cross. Wherever I have time, I give clothes or food to the poor. I donate in front of Walmarts. I serve as a security guard for going on 4 years now. I've worked for over 5 different companies that would like to promote me to supervisor. Give me a patrol car. I haven't received it even as far as a speeding ticket in over 10 years. This crime happened going on 13 years now. I've received my firearm privileges, restored all my civil rights. As a result of the consequences of my actions, I ended up bankrupt. I was unable to achieve or get positions that were offered to me as far as Orbital ATK, which is a division of NASA, to work as a security agent there to protect missiles for the Department of Defense. So I'm not just the standard security guard that has experience working in nightclubs where I hire and fire security guards that don't do their job, that drink on the job, that don't promote public safety to their position. And I assist local police enforcement officers and situations get out of hand. I have a good reputation in my community. Since then, I've obtained a real estate license. I've gone to a mortgage academy, which my information is with the NMLS of California. I went in front of a board of Nevada Private Investigators Board and received a board card for Nevada. I also currently have that in my possession. I also have the CCW for 32 states, where I'm able to carry on or off duty. My big concern is I'm bankrupt. I spent the money that I had from my property to live on just food and things to get by for several years. You know, I had a choice to turn to the government for financial assistance and in care, but I chose to work. After doing the math, there's only a difference, about $100 difference between working full-time and taking low-paying wages as far as minimum wage. I mean, I could have chose a life of crime, and you know, that's not something that I see myself living in. I've never really want to ever see myself ever doing that. I've raised myself to a certain standard to where even, you know, high levels of security, as far as the Department of Defense would be willing to hire me. I've already lost the opportunity to work for the FBI as a field agent because of my age. I'm now 37. I feel that, you know, on a daily basis, I do public safety. So that's what I do for a living. That's my.
So I do have the documentation in here from the Superior Court of Arizona, documented here that restoring your rights to possess a firearm that was lost or suspended as a result of the conviction. Also, there's an order suspending the judgment. So in Arizona, you're able to carry a weapon. As it is, are you living in Nevada or California? Because I think that's where the letters indicated you were having issues.
I'm having issues because I live in the state of California. I've been communicating with the Department of Justice. I have two letters that I can show you on me right now that they don't honor set-asides. They only honor pardons. So for me, it's a significant change. It would change my life because not only that, it would enable me to carry a firearm where I currently live to where I can make more than double what I currently make. So it would prevent me from living in poverty to actually being able to financially support myself. Because as it is, even with all the experience and education that I have, I'm not able to support myself. So I'm under the care of my mother, who is 70 years old, and my sister, who is a doctor in physical therapy. And I live in an area where, you know, terrorists does happen. You know, I live 10, 15 minutes from San Bernardino, where shootings happen. And, you know, unarmed security guards are placed at a complete disadvantage. In addition to that, I'm able to carry and possess a firearm and protect myself and my family in 32 states, whereas in the state of California, I'm not able to do that. And just recently, 2 weeks ago, there was a mountain lion walking down my street on Channel 7 News that killed two dogs and several cats and went after a police officer, and he discharged his firearm and you know, to defuse the situation from being attacked from a mountain lion. However, if I was placed in that situation, I would get an additional charge and be placed in jail as a repeat offender and have additional felonies on my record. So not only does it put me in an unsafe situation, it makes, you know, makes me unable to protect my family as well.
So I think you said in 32 states you've been licensed to carry a concealed weapon. Did you
say?
So are you licensed here in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. So the problem is although Arizona has set it aside and restored your gun right privileges here, there's an issue in California that you're not able to get a license. Is that correct?
Yes, and the license is not for necessarily the CCW. It's to work. So I'm dealing also with the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services, where they said that the issue is not that I don't qualify, or they actually issued me a license, but when I went to actually purchase a firearm after receiving my rights restored from Arizona, I was then notified that I'm not able to own or possess a firearm in the state of California. However, in 32 states I am. So that's when and then I had my license removed and revoked.
Okay, so sir, in the pre-sentence investigation from where you was charged with discharging a firearm within the city limits, which happened back in 2005, correct? You were a student at ASU at that time?
Yes, I was on the president's list, the dean's list, the honor roll, and I got accepted to Cary School of Business as an honor roll student from Mount San Antonio College. Since then, receiving finances to go to school has been unattainable. My struggle was to support myself and seek employment, which also was almost impossible to get good employment based on my skill level because it requires a background check. Anything over $12, $13 an hour on average requires to get an extensive background check or a felony would come up.
Okay. So, sir, you stated that this incident that occurred when in 2005, that basically you said the officer walked you to the gate and said that if you would tell him that you fired the weapon, that he would. How did you state that?
He asked me what the situation was and what was going on and why did I discharge my weapon and why. You know, I told him someone else had pointed a weapon at me. I discharged my weapon to prevent from being shot. He says, well, that's still against the law.
Okay. So in the pre-sentence report, sir, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but in the pre-sentence report, it basically says that this occurred about 2:25 in the morning in the area of downtown, I think it was around 7th Avenue. Said that the officers was in the nearby area. They heard several shots being fired. Subsequently, it led to coming behind you. Said that actually, according to your statement, you and a friend of yours were leaving a club and was followed by a vehicle with seven people. And you said somebody from another vehicle pointed a gun at you. However, there were some construction workers that were out there who heard the guns, shots fired, and didn't see it. And according to the passenger, Mr. Chandero, that was in the vehicle with you, sir, he states that he had rolled down the window to talk to some girls, and that all of a sudden you had fired the shots. He said he was shocked when you started to fire the shots into the air, which is kind of contradictory to what you're saying. Have you been drinking that night?
No.
So you guys were at the club till 2 o'clock in the morning. You hadn't consumed any alcohol?
No.
So actually, according to the information that we have in the pre-sentence report, you actually told the officers when they stopped you that you were the one who fired the gun. It wasn't after you got to the police station. Is that right?
The arresting officer is the same officer that had asked me the same question. So
yes,
the same answer. I don't know if you're maybe misunderstanding something, but I can clarify it for you if you like.
I was just trying to understand what happened, basically. What you said happened, that someone pulled up to the car, exhibited a weapon, and you fired the weapon into the air in order to scare them off or defend yourself or something. But there was never anything indicated, and the passenger that was in the car with you didn't see anybody else with a gun. Is that right?
Right. He didn't see anybody. It doesn't mean that didn't happen. He was on my right side. The car came to my left side. The car fled to the left side, and the construction workers were working several blocks down the street on my right side, so they wouldn't see the other vehicle as well.
Okay, so you were also put on 2 years probation?
I was on 2 years probation.
Okay, yes. And one of the conditions of that 2 year probation back then, that you were not to consume or drink any substance containing alcohol, is that right?
Correct.
Do you know if you hadn't been drinking that night, why was that placed on there?
It was a condition that they put on there. The probation officer felt that it was just something she needed to add at the time. I don't know. I even questioned her the same thing. I said, why are you even putting that on there? She says, well, we're just going to put it anyway. And I had some issues with the probation department, and I was getting mistreated. There was one time where I assisted a car that flipped over in front of me. when I was traveling from Phoenix to Casa Grande, Arizona, and I assisted Gila Bend Emergency Services in translating for the victims that were injured, suffered really bad injury, and I was called by my probation officer and scrutinized for assisting and aiding people for injuries that were life-threatening. And she says, well, part of your probation is you're not supposed to have police contact. And I told her, I said, well, am I supposed to let these people die? And you know, I left it alone, and I successfully completed everything. And I went through a lot of hurdles and difficulties and complications, but you know, that's just an example of several things that have happened throughout the time since then to about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to where I you know, I completely, you know, just said, hey, you know, I need to completely change my life and move away from where I live and do whatever is necessary to better myself. And, you know, it's paid off.
So, sir, you said you successfully completed your probation, but did you get revoked for that violating condition number 17?
What happened was, I was younger, I was probably still 25, and my lifestyle at the time was I was young. I was single, I'm still single, but my life has changed since then. I went to the bar, that's where my friends hung out, and I hung out, and I got in a bar fight, and I consumed alcohol, but not enough to be of the legal limit as considered legally drunk. However, I violated my probation because the terms of probation were for me not to consume any alcohol. So in that sense, I was sentenced to 30 days in jail.
Okay, so you didn't successfully complete it?
No, after that was 30 days in jail, I was still reinstated on probation for 2 years, and I completed that.
Okay. So, so this is kind of old, and this happened in San Bernardino. You was charged with false ID to the police officer, to a police officer?
No, that's incorrect. I don't have a charge on that.
What happened in that incident? You recall?
There is no incident. I've never given any false ID to any police officer.
So there's a documentation that says arrested or received in 10/19/95. Charged false ID to a police officer.
Oh, in 1995 as a juvenile.
Okay.
Yeah, since then I've had that case expunged. It was a juvenile case I was a runaway at the time.
Okay. So you also, did you receive a DUI in California in 1 year?
I did, and they ran the case concurrent, and I've had that expunged as well.
Okay, and there's also, although you were, it looks like that they, there's a case in San Bernardino in Riverside, California that you arrested for possession of marijuana for sale, although it looks like it was dismissed and furnishing marijuana hash. You had that case that was dismissed in San Bernardino, and that was in, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that case was dismissed. I had a doctor come on my behalf.
Okay. So, sir, I do see that you have several letters that support it here. There's also that from the state of Nevada where they denied your investigator license and said that you had the right to appeal that. That was in 2016. Did you ever appeal that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
There's a letter in here from the state of Nevada Private Investigators License Board. It says, this letter is to acknowledge your request to appeal the denial of your registration application. And the date of your hearing was March 2nd, 2016 at 10:30.
Oh yeah, I went in front of a board, and like I stated earlier, I went in front of a board in Nevada to obtain a work license to work in the state of Nevada as an armed guard, and I was given I had it with me. They granted my request. So since then, the board and the private investigators has honored that request, and I do have physical identification that I can show you now. I just received it from the Nevada Board after they received documentation from the Supreme Court honoring my civil rights restored for firearms.
So there's also a letter. I'm just going to some information that you have in your file. There's a letter from the Department of Justice dated May 18, 2016, which basically says that you don't have a denial for a firearm purchase. Is that right? Do you recall that? That
I'm sorry.
In the state of California, you cannot purchase a weapon.
Right.
So there's a number of letters of support that you have in here, some certificates that you also have in here that I want to acknowledge that you do have a number of letters of support in here from different people, different organizations. You have certificates in here that you actually achieved, but I do want to just make sure that your basic reason for wanting to pardon here in the state of Arizona is for financial hardship, security, career advancement, job employment, housing. Is that basically right?
Yes, it is.
But it I wasn't quite sure. It didn't impact your real estate license, did it?
No, the state of California, felons, as long as they don't commit like a violent crime or a heinous crime, they're able to get a license after showing 10 years of good outstanding service of not committing any additional crimes or having more than one several misdemeanors of felony charges. So there was a 10-year waiting period.
Okay. So I just wanted to just to go through this. So basically, you would not be here asking for a pardon if the state of California were to grant you a right to purchase a firearm.
Correct. I mean, that's in addition to the other states that only honor the pardon from where your original crime was committed. So that's why I am here, because financially I can't support myself anywhere if I'm not able to get the employment that is needed. I used to own a business that I had here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was a mobile electronics security specialist for over 15 years, where I've worked at Best Buy, Circuit City when they're around, and going back into those industries at times is without having a clear background, even with all the experience and knowledge, I'm just not employable. So that's something I've been facing since this charge originally happened. And my education has been put on the back burner for financial reasons because I'm not able to pay for my own education and whatnot. However, last year I went ahead and I submitted myself back into Chaffee Community College to continue my education because I don't feel that, this should hold me back, and even though it is, I could be working at our little ATK and pursuing my life, and one day I want to have a family and have all the necessary things that you folks have, and I want to be able to appreciate life, because this is a nightmare. I understand that, yeah, I did something wrong and I went to jail and I served my time. However, there's consequences that persist outside of that, people ask me every day, I'm a security guard, and I get people asking me all the time, why don't you be a police officer, or why don't you be, why don't you go work for that FBI like your friend, or work at Homeland Security? And I said, well, sometimes things happen in life, and I took a campus security course as well, and Banning School District was willing to hire me, and they asked me, if you were to ever work as a security guard on campus, what children would you work for and why? Do you want to work for, elementary kids? Do you want to work for middle school kids? Do you want to work in high school? And I said, I'd probably work in high school because my experience and what I experienced throughout this time is life-changing. And if these kids don't realize what they do later on in life, they're going to destroy their future. And it's a vicious cycle that goes through the justice system, and people don't ever make it. It becomes the way of life for them, but it's not an honest way, and it wasn't my choice. Like, I don't want to live that life. And, I've been doing the best, and I had a choice to, I had a choice every day to either work and make minimum wage, knowing that I deserve a lot more, and I'm given the opportunity to make more, or rough it out. and I roughed it out for 13 years of my life. I spent all my life savings on myself. I'm mentally competent. I've taken, you know, my own psychiatric evaluations. One was conducted by the state of California about 2 years ago, and you know, I'm fine. And you know, it's this part of the understanding was not going to expunge it. It's not going to remove it completely. I understand it's going to be there for the rest of my life. However, I don't feel that it should prevent me from living a normal life. I want my life to be as normal as possible. You know, I was 25 years old. I came to the state of Arizona to employ people. I bought my house at 24. I got accepted as an honor roll student to Arizona State University. And all those things have, you know, I can't pursue those things if I don't have the finances to continue. People are like, hey, well, you're a real estate agent. Why don't you work as a realtor? I said, yeah, that's fine. But there's fees. There's associations you have to pay. You have those licensings that have to be paid. And they said, well, why are you doing this? I said, well, what else would I be doing?
So are you licensed in California to be a security guard and just not able to carry a weapon?
No, I can carry weapons. I can carry, you also have documentation. I'm able to carry a baton, tear gas.
Right, but not a gun.
Not a firearm, correct.
But you are licensed to be a security officer?
Correct.
Okay.
For the city, yes.
All right, so I don't know if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Quinones?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Is it Chandru?
Yes.
Just a quick question. You had a strong statement about the circumstances surrounding your post-arrest admission. Following your charge, and again, we're not here to recharge anything. We're here for a pardon hearing. But did you dispute your admission of guilt during the legal proceedings?
When I was 25, I was scared. Seeing what was going on, how I was being booked, the whole process, after reviewing it and reading the police, you know, report, and actually looking at what happened, and being in court, check cases, because I didn't have money for several years, and I couldn't afford an attorney, and I had to do my own research. And after sitting in several court hearings for several different things, with cases not related to me, you know, I understand that in certain instances, if a police officer doesn't do his job in procedure and read your rights or do certain things, cases are automatically dismissed, whether the person is guilty or not. You know, and in my case, that could have been the situation, whether I had hired or could afford an attorney at the time. However, I was scared. I don't want to go to jail. So I took the plea bargain. I was scared.
And again, I'm not trying to be accusatory. I just want to understand the follow through on what happened with that. Which agency arrested you?
It was downtown, where the nearest one to this location.
NSPD.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. The board has no further question. Sir, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make any statement, give the board any information you'd like the board to have prior to the board going into discussions or to make a decision.
I understand what I did was not legal, and it's against the law. And I'm still suffering consequences today, every day. I understand it's never going to be completely removed from my record, but this will change my life. It would help me and my family significantly. I would be able to seek better employment. I would be able to take care of myself. I would not be kind of forced into living in poverty. In addition to that, I know I don't have anybody here to speak on my behalf. However, they were able to supply you guys with letters of recommendation from several different agencies and people. And those are people that personally know me, that I've known for 10, 15 years of my life, that can vouch for my character. I'm very careful as to what I do and since that point in my life. So it's just not something that happened 5 years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and then I decided to change then. Since this happened, I made a conscious decision to change my life. And my actions, my employment, my life, my well-being has demonstrated that. And not only that, when I was 18, 19 years old, I joined the Selective Service Act. I came to Arizona. I've been on the Air Force Base. I've worked with a private company that during the wartime I actually was able to meet fighter pilots that were running missions for the United States Air Force. I have friends that are sergeants in the military. I have friends that work for Homeland Security and that do great things for this country, and that's something that I've always wanted to do. My father comes from previous Department of Defense experience as well. I just want my life to be back to normal as possible. I do want to continue pursuing the existing career that I'm in, and I believe that this will change my life. I know it won't erase anything, but I can continue to be a good example to kids, people in my community, the places that I work, and I just hope for the best for myself, and I want to someday have a family and be able to take care of my family to the best of my ability.
Okay, sir, thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. The board is going to go into discussion. While we are in discussion, sir, it may appear as though we talk to you. That's fine. It may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're going to certainly be talking amongst ourselves, sir. And we will make a decision at this time to have the opportunity to discuss this issue. And the board will make a decision whether to pass it on to recommend it to the governor or to not recommend it to the governor at this time. The board is now in discussion, and I do understand that Mr. Chandoro has his rights, his civil rights, which were law suspended as a result of the conviction. Those have been restored here in the state of Arizona. As before, he does have the opportunity to do the security work in California. He's just not authorized to carry a gun in California because of the charge that he has for discharging a firearm within the city limits. According to the documentation and pre-sentence report that we have, he was sentenced. This was an incident that occurred while he was here downtown, coming from a bar. Supposedly, he had another passenger in the car, and like I said earlier, the passenger said he was rolling down his window to talk to some girls, and all of a sudden he heard these shots, and the driver, Mr. Chandoro, was firing the shots in the air. There were some police officers in the immediate area who subsequently stopped the car down the road, and as a result of that, he did plead guilty to unlawful discharge of a firearm within the city, which is an open-end Class 6 felony. He was placed on probation. One of the conditions of his probation that he was not to drink alcohol. He was subsequently violated on the probation violation and for drinking alcohol, served an additional 30 days in jail as a result of that. And after that, he did receive one DUI in California, one DUI here, although he has not been in any trouble in a number of years, and he do have several letters of recommendation. At least personally, this board member, I don't feel that there's any extenuating circumstances to bar this to the governor's office based on the information contained in the documentation that I've had the opportunity to review. But I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Seeing no comments coming from the rest of the board, I am going to make a motion to not recommend a pardon to the governor for Mr. Richard Chandoro.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, sir, the board has voted unanimously to not recommend passing a pardon on to the governor. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to come here and appear before this board. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. To repetition is for 3 years?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.